Well, Lord, I pray that you would bless your word. Lord, may it be life and encouragement to us, Lord. Lord, you say, tell us that the Spirit gives life. Lord, our flesh profits nothing. So I pray that you would just speak through me, Lord. That I yield up my body to you, my thoughts, everything, Lord.
Amen.
We just ask in Jesus' name. Amen. Yeah, I was thinking, we were singing a lot about the cross today during this time of Lent. Just really our extravagant seeking the Lord, asking Him to really work the cross in our lives, you know, building up to the celebration of the season of Easter. And I was thinking about in Hebrews where it talks about for the joy set before Him that Jesus endured the cross. And the Lord always wants to get that in us. If there's, if we're going through any type of suffering or with the cross, of the joy that's set before us, or why He's allowing this, in other words. And I was headed in one direction as I was thinking about yesterday what I was going to speak about today, just praying. And last night I just felt led to pick up one of my journals and had a couple of pages dog-eared in there. And it was about some personal words the Lord gave me in Scripture about my suffering and some things that I went through. And you know, when you actually experience something with the Lord and you walk through it, there's a certain type of anointing that's on there rather than just reading from something or somebody else's experience and just kind of scraping it off the page, even though that's good too. You follow me? And so, because I really want this to be life to us. If you want to, I'm going to use several scriptures. If you want to turn your Bible to Romans chapter 8. A couple of weeks ago, I spoke briefly about this during our noonday Eucharist. So used to the little 5-minute homilies, I was like, all right, Lord, you got to give me some more stuff here. And go at least 20 minutes today. I remember Michael Moat coming up to me one time. He said, man, I really like your preaching. And I thought, well, thank you, Michael. You know, I think, you know, all the insight I've gotten, everything he said, because your sermons are always really short. I appreciate your honesty. Romans 8, verse 16. The Spirit Himself, the Holy Spirit, bears witness with our spirit that we're children of God. And if children, we're heirs, heirs of God, and fellow heirs with Christ, if indeed we suffer with Him in order that we may be glorified with Him. For I consider that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared to the glory that's to be revealed to us. So, and one thing we see about suffering is glory or the manifest presence of God in our very lives. And they even uses the word here, heirs. Heirs with Christ. Everything that we have in Christ, all the spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ, we're heirs. We have everything that He has with us, right? But it says we're heirs if we suffer with Him. Right? What does that mean? I'll put it in a little nutshell. What I believe, one of the things the Lord shared with me. That we know we're heirs in what we have as we suffer. Because it's in suffering that the Lord reveals to us that we are heirs. You follow me? It's the suffering that we go through that exposes those things the Lord wants to remove so He can show us that we're heirs. You follow me? And if we're heirs with Christ, you know, and we suffer with Him, then guess what? We're going to receive His glory. We'll be glorified with Him. Amen? 2 Corinthians. Chapter 4. Starting in verse 7. Well, let's go to verse 6. For God who said, light shall shine out of darkness, is the one who has shown in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Christ. We have this treasure, the glory of God, the presence of God within us, in earthen vessels, that the surpassing greatness of power may be of God and not of ourselves. And then he goes we're afflicted in every way. Why would he say that just after he said we have this surpassing greatness in these bodies of ours, these earthen vessels, this power, this presence of Christ, that we can understand that power is from God and not for us. And then he says, we are afflicted in every way, but not crushed. We're perplexed. You know, that word perplexed means to be unsure what to do, confused, puzzled. Have you ever found yourself that way? Even going through what God's called us to walk through. Man, Lord, I'm just confused. I don't understand what to do. I'm puzzled. I'm perplexed. And usually we think that's the enemy. You know, get out of here, spirit of confusion or whatever. But in here, it's the Lord. And you'll see in a minute, it's the Lord working it in our hearts. But we're not despairing. That means we're not going to walk away. We're perplexed. We're confused. We don't understand God, what's going on. But we're not walking away. We're not despairing. We're persecuted, but we're not forsaken. Struck down, but not destroyed. Listen to this. Always caring about in the body, in the dying of Jesus, that the life of Jesus may be manifested in our bodies. For we who live are constantly being delivered over to death for Jesus' sake, that the life of Jesus may be manifested in our mortal flesh. So death works in us, but life in you. See, God put this awesome treasure in these bodies. And what He's doing with this awesome treasure, so you can experience every bit of it, is He's pushing out the junk. Okay? And He uses afflictions. Right? Perplexions. We're perplexed. Persecutions, feeling destroyed, so that you can experience this power in you and the life of Christ.
Amen.
Death works in us and life in you. Therefore, in verse 16 it says, after he says this, for time's sake, therefore, we do not lose heart. And that's our biggest battle in the midst of when we're suffering, is losing heart, right?
Yep.
But though our outer man is decaying, yet our inner man is renewed day by day. You know, I've experienced 4 healings in my life. But unless Jesus comes back, y'all, I'm going to die.
Yep.
And so are you. You got it?
Yep.
I mean, we can be 95 and be delivered from something and live to be 96. You're going to die. Your outer body is decaying. It's all about that eternal part that God is doing, your inner man. It's always about the heart. You follow me? It's always about our heart. Momentary light affliction is producing for us an eternal weight of glory far beyond all comparison. While we look not at the things which are seen, but the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporal, but the unseen is eternal. It's the eternal part in us that God's working, right?
Yep.
And every affliction that comes in your life, comes into your life, or all suffering, always remember this: it's momentary, and it's light, but it can't even be compared to what God really wants to do.
Yeah.
And the end result of what He's going to do in your life.
Amen.
It's eternal. It's going to go on forever. You follow me? Amen. 1 Peter. Chapter 4. Verse 1. Therefore, since Christ has suffered in the flesh, arm yourselves with the same purpose. Because he who has suffered in the flesh, now this he is little he, like us, right? He who has suffered in the flesh has ceased from sin.
Amen.
So that's to live the rest of the time in the flesh, no longer for the lust of men, but for the will of God. So, it says, arm yourself with the same purpose that Christ had in suffering in his flesh. What is one of the things that happened when he suffered in the flesh? He broke the power of sin.
Yeah.
Right? So part of your suffering and my suffering is to set us free from the power of sin in our lives.
Amen.
You follow me?
Amen.
There's this quote, and I've said this a couple of times. This is from Francis Frangipane. He said, "To inoculate me from the praise of man, God baptized me in the criticism of man until I died to the control of man."
Good word.
And He saved me by killing in me that which was vulnerable to the devil. And He did it through accusations, through persecutions.
Thank God.
You follow me? So look at it from that point of view when we're going through that. We're going through criticisms and accusations and everything. God is actually using that to put to death these places in us that's real vulnerable to the devil. And He knows that. To set me free from the power of sin. You see? Verse 12 in chapter 4. "Therefore, beloved, do not be surprised at the fiery ordeal among you, which comes upon you for your testing, as though some strange thing were happening to you. But to the degree," listen, this is so good, "but to the degree that you share the sufferings of Christ, keep on rejoicing, so that at the revelation of His glory, you may rejoice with exultation." And the revelation of His glory, y'all, that is partly when He comes again. This is talking about our here and now. And that's the word He's given them, because when Peter wrote these people, they were going through major persecution. I mean, they're watching their friends and neighbors and family members be dragged off to their death, their property being taken away from them, everything seized that they had. Just major persecutions when He wrote this. But He says a couple of things in here that I thought was really encouraging. Any suffering when we go through, it calls into several times the sufferings of Christ. That there's this continual sufferings of Christ. Not that it's not talking about that His work on the cross, because it was finished. He said it was finished. There's this continual sufferings of Christ that we go through. And I think that's encouraging us, because we're in Christ, right? We are seated with Him in the heavenly places. There is no suffering that comes in my life that He does not allow. Therefore, I am suffering with Christ. Not apart from Christ, with Christ.
Amen.
It is His sufferings. And in His sufferings, it says, therefore, I can greatly rejoice, because I know if I'm in Christ and I'm in His sufferings, then there's going to be an end result to this, y'all. There's going to be a greater manifestation of His presence, His glory, His will, to hear His voice. I mean, all the good stuff. You got me? We're just going forever and all this stuff that He's going to do there. And it goes on, "If you're reviled for the name of Christ, you're blessed, because the Spirit of glory in God rests upon you."
Thank you, Lord.
"If anyone suffers as a Christian, let him not feel ashamed, but in that name let him glorify God." Verse 16. In verse 19, "Therefore, let those who suffer according to the will of God entrust their souls to a faithful Creator in doing what's right."
Amen.
So you're telling me, Craig, that sometimes there's a suffering according to the will of God? Yeah. Well, actually, it says right here. There's a suffering. "If anyone suffers according to the will of God, let them entrust their souls." Because, see, God is faithful. You're entrusting your soul to a faithful person. And you don't have to say it right or do it right. Or if you miss saying this or, you know, it says that sometimes you're going to be perplexed in your sufferings. Like, Lord, what are you doing? You know, why am I having to go through this, all that? And that doesn't offend the Lord, see. Because He's going to complete the end result in my life. And He did that with me. And this last time, I just woke up one day and He said, "I'm going to heal you."
Amen.
All right, cool. And in a month, I was healed, right? I didn't have to get up and confess a bunch of stuff every day. He did it. And when we came up here and we were praying at the altar rail like you told us to, he said, quit asking me for it and start thanking me. Because I already told you I was going to do it.
Amen.
So I started thanking. And that was the stuff, what I went through, for the will of God. It was according to the will of God. At the end of chapter 5 here. And we hear this verse a lot, talking about the enemy. Be of sober spirit, be on the alert. Your adversary, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion, seeking someone to devour. But it says, but resist him, firm in your faith, knowing that the same experiences of suffering are being accomplished by your brethren in the world. And after you've suffered for a little while. So in the context of what he's saying about Satan prowling around, wanting to devour us and all that stuff, is in context of suffering. One thing I can guarantee you, the enemy will come to you in your suffering. And he will tell you, he will lie to you and say, you know this is on you because of what you've done, don't you? You know? God's judging you. This judgment of God is on you because of it. And you're like, oh my God. You know, guess where your focus is? On the enemy. Right? We're casting out everything. I mean, I've had, through my sickness, 100,000 things prayed and cast out of me, you know? More than legion. I'm like, good God, man, I must be in bad shape here. But God did use the enemy, right? The enemy always plays right into God's hand. You know, he's thinking he's accomplishing one thing, but he just plays right into God's hand every time. He even let the enemy crucify Jesus, not really knowing who he was for the salvation of man. Because it says in Scripture, if they would have known who he was, he wouldn't have done it. Right? He played a part in our salvation. So even if he's involved in it in any way, like he was with me, he's going to come. God used it.
Amen.
And God will use it. But you know how we resist him? But to the degree you share the sufferings of Christ, keep on rejoicing. Through rejoicing. Through thanking the Lord. Entrusting our souls to a faithful Creator. Lord, you're sovereign. I just praise you for this. You know, because I'm walking through what Joe and Regina, I thought about y'all a lot. What you're walking through. Y'all are in the sufferings of Christ. You just keep entrusting. Evidently, he wanted you to walk the way that you've got to walk. You've done nothing wrong. You're doing it just right. Because he's faithful. And you're in Christ. And you're in his hand. And if there's something he wants you to know, he'll let you know. You don't have to worry. But that's how we resist him. We keep on rejoicing. And the Lord says, after you've suffered for a little, the God of all grace, who called you to his eternal glory in Christ, will himself perfect you. He'll confirm you. He'll strengthen you. And he will establish you. Through sufferings. It's worth it, right?
Amen.
So I know all of us in our tendency mind too is when sufferings come to want to resist it. That's our flesh, you know. But ask the Lord, Lord, give me eyes to see what you're doing. Get my eyes on your presence, on your glory, on what you're doing in me, and the end result. You know, guys, I could go on and just, I think I would be repeating myself if I went on anywhere from here. But let that word get in you. Let it encourage you. Rejoice. Keep on rejoicing, guys. Whatever degree you're suffering right now, keep on rejoicing. Because God's going to do this awesome, awesome thing in you. Amen.
Good word,
Amen.
Father.